Okay.
Kia ora koutou and welcome to another episode of South Pacific Muscle. Getting a bit regular here. Must be having our fibre supplements and all that. So we're back in less than a week than last time. So really good to be here and very thankful that I can be here actually with some really good company tonight. So as usual, I've got my co-host Mike and he has probably a little bit of a backstory about one of our guests, which is Dom. And I might let Mike sort of tell us a bit about the backstory, how Dom and Mike first met in bodybuilding and where they ended up today. Shit.
Holy moly.
I think he just fell off. That was gold. What'd you do, bro?
Look, I'm happy to tell it, unless Dom wants to tell it.
I'll let you tell it, bro.
Oh, so I was at Christchurch last year for the South Islands, and we're doing the tanning the night before, and I'm just sitting down on the couches waiting to get tanned and, you know, yakking to the guys around me, and Dom says, "Hey, can I get a photo with you?" Sure. And he goes, "Look, you're the first real bodybuilder that I ever saw." And I was like, "You must have an interesting interpretation of real bodybuilder." But we got yakking, and he comes to the 2019 NABA show in Dunedin, and which I was the first one back that I competed in. So, you know, like, I wasn't at my best. I mean, I had 20 years off and the like, but you know, we corresponded a little bit, and when I sort of questioned Dom on, "Are you a real bodybuilder?" He goes, "No, mate, you know, you live the life, you eat the food, you train, you diet, yeah. You know, you get up there on stage, so you're a real bodybuilder." And I, like, there's better bodybuilders around, but I suppose when by that definition, yeah, I'm a real bodybuilder. So Dom and I have been kind of corresponding ever since, and saw him up at Nationals, came for a workout at Olympic, and then we actually caught up last weekend in Invercargill. I took my son down for athletics, and we caught up for a coffee there. So it's nice to... It's one of the kind of feel-good stories for me about competing this year was the people that I met and the connections that I made. So it was real nice to connect with Dom. And obviously, being such a small place, his brother-in-law used to teach at King's. So,
welcome on board, Dom. Good to have you.
Hey, thanks for having me, bro.
No worries. And Mike, I'll let you introduce our other guests, because when you sent me the Instagram handle, I hadn't clicked who we were having on. So the backstory, I haven't done the research, but my introduction from Mike was, I've got a guy who'd be really good to have on here because he will contrast probably what we're used to doing in certain areas, but he'll have some great conversation behind that. So I'm really looking forward to that. But Mike, do you want to hit us with the intro here?
Dave, after the podcast we did about, maybe must have been 4 weeks ago, so it was before Christmas, I said, "Oh, I'm coming to Auckland. You know, anybody want to work out?" And Dave's coached by Kurt Dell as well, so we'll try not to make this podcast a Kurt Dell fanboy episode again. He's coached by Kurt as well, and he was up at Nationals there with us. He contacted me, and we went for a workout at the gym that he works at in Newmarket, the Olympic Pool and Fitness Centre. So we went for a train there, and all right, it was about a week post Christmas, and we were both a little bit lethargic. But I felt like I had to kind of lift my game a little bit because I was training with someone else. But I was lifting a little bit more than Dave, but I weigh about 30 kilos more, so it takes the win on power to weight. But before I went up,
you were taking it easy on me, that's for sure.
Before I went up there, I took it, had a bit of an Insta stalk as well, and then went over to his YouTube and that sort of thing. And he's got a ton of training videos there, and so pretty prolific and putting stuff out on social media, which all good quality stuff. So and perhaps he can talk a little bit more about that. But touching base through the coach, through the competitions, just meeting the people and getting around the country. So it was nice to have a workout and nice to meet up with Dave.
It's very much like. We're at different ends of the spectrum on that. Mike, you go to bodybuilding shows and you've made all these amazing friendships. I generally don't. and 100% is not because I don't like the people, because, as you know, bodybuilders are my favourite fucking people in the world. But when I'm at competitions, I just tend to be in my own little zone. And, I did have a few more laughs at the Tournament of Champions. I made a point of that. And met a couple of guys, that one of them we had on the podcast the other week, but met a few guys, had a few good conversations that I normally wouldn't do. And to be fair, like, you know, that's really valuable time. And I think even though when you're feeling a bit fucking flat and you're coming into a show and you're just trying to conserve energy, it's still nice to put a little bit of energy into the people around you and some pretty rewarding conversations and even friendships that come out of that. So,
well, I was pretty conscious that, we're not exactly media celebrities just yet, but, you know, you don't want to be, oh, you know, I met that guy from the podcast from South Pacific. He was a prick, you know, like, he's got to be like, I kind of psych myself up, you know, save a bit of energy to kind of be friendly to people and that sort of thing. It's not difficult, but you just got to kind of concentrate and, you know, save a little bit of energy for that, a bit of mental focus.
Hey, what I might do, Dom, is you could kick off and just tell us a little bit about yourself, where you started, your journey in bodybuilding, what your sporting background was, some of that stuff that people might want to know about, and then we might have a quick look at your Instagram, because there's some pretty cool stuff on there, man. I was watching a bit earlier today, and the deadlifts came through, so we're definitely going to look at those. So, Dom, let's hear a bit about you, man.
I'm Dom Fornity, and I was born in Samoa. I came over to New Zealand when I was about six. I'd have to say my background would probably be more athletics. I did track back in the day. I ran the 100 metres.
What was your best time, bro? I've got to know that.
Okay. I to be honest, this is where I was going to get at. I never trained like you know, just like every, I don't know, the younger generation now, you know, you see them out training a lot, you know. My son, he trains a lot too, and for me, I never trained, and I ran a 11:02 in the 100 meters.
Wow.
But yeah, I've represented Southland and Waikato as well, so you know, that's a bit of my background in the track department. I got into bodybuilding a bit late though, so the funny story is I went to Auckland. I've known quite a few bodybuilders back in the day. Like when I was 16, I was actually working for a drainage company, and I managed to tee up with I think you guys might know him, Dale Shepherd. Funny story about Dale is we were in one of the gyms one time, and I can't remember where it was. It might have been in Point Chev, and he was rack pulling like I think like 320, and he was dropping it, and one of the personal trainers came over and kicked us out because he was grunting, and he's like, oh, you know, you're gonna kick me out for grunting and stuff like that. Oh. Bullshit. That was funny, man. But that's just a little story about you know, the guys that I knew that did a little bit of bodybuilding and a bit of powerlifting as well. And I was in Auckland. I was on a holiday, and I was at Wolf's Gym in Henderson. And Mark Rainbow came up and he said, oh, hey, you're keen for a train. I was just training by myself there. And I said, oh, yeah, no, for sure, man. He asked what I was doing. I was doing biceps. And I was just doing biceps then. So he said, oh, we'll do buys and tries. So I was like, yeah, no, sweet. So me and him were just working out. And then this was in 2019, you see. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't that too long ago. And then he just turned around and he said, oh, he goes, all that hunk of meat, do you even compete? And I was like, oh, I was like, nah, man, I just, you know, I play rugby. So he said, you know, next time I see you, next time I'm going to see you, you better be on stage and stuff like that. So, there was another guy that was there as well. You've had him on the podcast. I think his name's Dave. He's the motivational.
I know where you're talking about training. Mike, I'm just going to jump in again for a sec, because how much does that sound? So Mark Rainbow, for those who don't know, is a very successful amateur, and he turned IFBB pro many years ago and competed in Night of Champions. And look, you know, the lineup in the Night of Champions at that era was phenomenal. So if you have a look at the lineup, you know, he came out in top, outside top 15, top 15, but when you look at that lineup, no one was going to get anywhere, you know, some of those placings. So he was a very experienced bodybuilder. And for him to come up and make a point of going, hey, you know, do you want to have a train or to get in your ear, is because he probably saw a lot of potential in your physique at that time that you probably didn't, I don't know, at the time you wouldn't have known that.
Yeah, and he was right too, because if that's only 2 years ago, won the overall at Christchurch and were very competitive at the Nationals for only two more years, you know. He was right. Yeah. You do have a lot of potential as a bodybuilder.
Nah, thank you very much for that, eh? But it wasn't until long after that. I attended the Otago Nebba, and the funny thing is I was actually going to compete at that show, but the South Islands was only like 3 weeks away, and when I saw you get out on stage, bro, I was like, yeah, no, thank God I didn't. Honestly, like, you know, my partner Michelle and I were in the spectator seats, and we were just watching. And when you and Delaine came out, I've never seen anything like it before. Like, I'm being serious now, bottom of my heart, I've never seen anybody so chiseled, ripped, and, you know, like, even tanned up and stuff like that. Look, it was amazing, and I just got hooked from them. So. Yeah, no, it was good to. It was actually good to meet you after that. So yeah.
Right, Buck. Sorry, then we went on a bit of a tangent there, but I was really interested in some of that history. So we'll hand over now, Dave. Do you want to give us a bit of rundown about yourself, your background, what do you do for a job, that type of stuff?
Okay. Well, first of all, thanks for having me on. It's a privilege to have been invited along for the chat, boys. I actually, this year is my 30th year in the fitness industry. So I've been around this neck of the woods a long time, but pretty much on the outskirts when it comes to bodybuilding. I've always been viewing it from the outside, just seeing what was happening. I wanted to compete when I was younger, when I was in my early 20s, but for one reason or another, it never happened. You know, I'd done martial arts from when I was 10 till about 22. So years and years of that. And then it just never really eventuated. And then in the mid 90s, I actually competed in competitive aerobics back in the day when it was a thing. It used to be on TV with Brett Fairweather and stuff like that. So yeah, so we competed in that, and I competed nationally and internationally there. And
Once upon a time, they used to have some of those competitors compete in between classes at the bodybuilding shows. Cause I remember seeing a lot of that. So were you around in that era?
I was just a little bit after that, but I remember going to some bodybuilding shows and watching, and then seeing that it was like the intermission act in between all the classes. It was good. It was good high energy stuff, but obviously completely different to bodybuilding in terms of what you're doing. It was 90 seconds on stage, as hard as you possibly can, flexibility, strength, the whole thing, and you got to smile the whole time, which was quite hard when you're doing that sort of stuff. Yeah. But it was good. It was a good time. But what it did get me used to, it got me the taste of being on stage. And when I competed last year at the Nationals, it was really nice to be back on the stage again in a completely different realm, but just getting out there, you know, it was cool. I really enjoyed it.
I'm not very comfortable with. That's the thing they like the least, that feel the most awkward about. So it's good that you already had that.
I enjoyed that. It was good to get out. In fact, when I was on stage at Nationals, I just took a moment just to appreciate where I was standing on a stage and just have the opportunity to do it, especially after we'd had such a long run into it, to actually finally be there. Cause I made the decision probably about 3 years ago that I was going to do something. And it just took a while for me to get momentum again, because I had to really rebuild what I was doing. And, but I was so glad that we finally got to do it, and came away with some good results, which was fortunate.
Nice. How do you find the, the presentation compared to when you're on stage doing competitive aerobics versus the posing routines and the structure and the poses and the walks, etc., in bodybuilding? Do you see them as kind of a similar sort of activity, that if you're good at one, you're going to be pretty good at the other, or do you think that?
Well, that's what I thought. And when I started posing, and I did some sessions with Kurt, and I thought it would just be automatic, just to be able to put on this, hey, here I am, the showmanship. But it's a lot more intricate just to get your body moving. Obviously, men's physique, I've only got two poses. So I thought, how hard can it be? But when you try and transition and move and make it look like you're relaxed, but you're still not. It was quite tough at first to get my head around the whole concept of that. But to bring the state, you know, the showmanship, that felt easy. But combining that with the completely different movements, it's a challenge, you know. So I gave myself like 5 weeks of posing, thinking it was going to be a piece of piss. And, and I'm thinking, shit. And in fact, I got feedback from the judges from Nationals, and they said, you know, you've got to work on this, and have a look at your posing as well. So every session now, I'm in the mirror just trying to, you know, and I'm watching posing videos all the time just to try and bring my game up a lot more.
And in that men's physique category, it's so critical. I mean, yes, big bodybuilders have to show their physiques off, but I think in men's physique, there's that emphasis of almost that X factor and stage presence along with absolutely flawless posing. So,
It's certainly an art, you know. I learned a lot, even just being on stage with the other competitors, right there. You know, you've been on in the center, you're at the sides watching, but you're learning straight away because you're watching Scotty McIntosh next to me, and it's like, oh, I better do what he's doing. I better do what he's doing. So I'm sort of trying to mimic what he's doing on stage. I guess that's how you learn. You know, you watch other people and you just get better.
Scotty looked really good too this year, eh?
Yeah, he was awesome. He's just built. When I saw him backstage, he's just same thick.
I was really impressed. More so even by the amount of progress he's made. You know, his progress has been very rapid. But anyway, back to yourself, Dave, your workout Unleashed. Do you want to tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, so I've been a personal trainer basically for almost 30-odd years. So I train predominantly sort of general population clients. I don't have many sports people or anything. I guess I've always shied away from that. To be honest, probably the more money was with the Gen Pop stuff, to be honest about it. So there was more of them than there was sports people and stuff like that. And I actually enjoy with that. And a lot of my clients I've had for, you know, I've had some clients 20, 25 years now, and they've just stayed with me the whole time. I've got people that, because you teach them stuff, but sometimes it's more than that. They like the companionship of having someone else at the gym. And sometimes they want to think, you know, I've had clients that are reasonably high powered jobs. They come to the gym. They don't want to have to think about what they're doing. They just want to rock in and be told, do this, do this, do 10 of those, 20 of those. Great work. See you later.
There it is right there, people. If you want to subcontract out all the thinking and just get in there and fucking do the job you've got to do, personal training, great option, you know?
Yeah. In saying that, you know, but that's why I got a coach, because I wanted someone who I could offload to them to tell me what to do everything, so I could just concentrate on what I was doing and not have to think too much about the whole process. And that was really good.
Mike and I talked a lot about that. Hey, before we move on, guys, I just want to jump on these guys' Instagrams. So be with me. I'll just share screen. So here we've got Dave's Insta, guys. Look, if you want to follow Dave, and as Mike said, some real good video stuff on there. Get out, workout Unleashed, and have a look through his stuff, man. Some real good stuff. So, Mike, do you want to go through? Just scroll down.
Yeah, jump on that YouTube channel too, guys. There's lots of workout videos and things in there. There's obviously a pick from the...
let's have a look at that.
From the Nationals.
Wow. Got a mean boys.
It's always, do you guys always like it when you first open up someone's competition picks, and if it's a good photo, you just kind of sit there and go, fuck, that's good. And you look at all the parts that are really, really their strong points and think, man, that looks fucking, you know? And you kind of overanalyze the whole thing. It's not just a photo. Look, if we showed someone that, you know, that wasn't overly interested in bodybuilding, they'd look and go, oh, yeah, cool. it's quite mesmerizing.
Photo when it's us, eh?
So watch, that was at, this year's Nationals or Tournament Champions?
That was the Nationals.
Nice. So what, how far away from that sort of shape are you at the moment? Have you put a bit back on or?
Oh, probably about 3-4 kgs up from that. So not too bad. Yeah. I don't know how that guy got on my gram.
About the same as me, eh? Put about 3 or 4 on, eh, Mike?
3 or 4, yeah.
How many do you put on?
I'm not doing too bad. I've come back a little bit. Maybe from depleted to now about 9.
Dom, what about yourself? How are you going post-comp?
I didn't do a proper reverse row, and I'll tell you that right now. But I'm probably sitting at around about 96 now. Yeah. I was 87. So, yeah.
You know what? I feel really bad because I just checked out mine today and I'd put on 15. And I'm like, and I actually looked and I'm like, I'm not that bad. I'm pretty bloated. I'm pretty bloated. I'm pretty full, but I'm enjoying it. It's like, I feel normal again. Yeah. You know,
yeah.
Yeah, but I think I said last podcast, gonna have to pull that in. So anyway, tons of stuff on here, guys. So if you want to have a look, as I said, spend some time on there, have a look and check out the YouTube channel.
And typical bodybuilder going into prep, lots of pictures of food.
Yeah, certainly, Leah, lots of pictures of food the whole way through. It was good.
There's some good looking food in there too.
Oh, because I started following a whole bunch of Kurt's female athletes, and they are just awesome at being able to take the stuff that I was eating and make it look really cool and taste really cool. Because I was eating everything super plain, first of all, and then it's like, try this. It's like, holy shit. No, it was just life-changing, some of it.
I've gone the other direction. I kind of just like cooking the easiest way possible. Even though I enjoy cooking nice meals, when it comes to my food, I'm like, throw it in the air fryer, throw it in the microwave, and whatever comes out, comes out. But anyway, going on to Dom's Insta there. So Dom_Finotti, and have a look at these photos, Mike. That was Nationals again?
No, that was South Island.
South Island. Yeah. So you won the South Islands this year and last year, right?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Nice. I've done that show, and I consider that show one of the hardest regional shows in the country, if not the hardest, every year. Hey, can we have a look at the deadlifts, Mike?
Have a look at this today.
Yeah. So for those having a look at this, 20 reps at 200 kilos. Even at my best, there's no way I was getting anywhere near that. It's freaking strong, bro.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Thanks, man. I actually wasn't planning to do anything like that, but you guys remember Matthias Henry that won the South Island Champs in 2019?
Got a pro card as well.
He got a pro card. I've kept in contact with that guy, and I remember he posted up 220 for 20, and he done it with ease, man. I was inspired by that, so that's wild.
It was mad. No, I've got to say, I really enjoyed watching that. I was like, man, 20 for 20 on 200. So if anyone wants to do that, just note that if you read the footnote there, he'll give an explanation that it wasn't all about bodybuilding, and he knows very well, you know, what the best way to train for him is, and then he does that. But every now and then, you just got to smash some fucking weights, you know. Cool to watch.
I bring this one up. We've got to get a pic of Michelle in there. She's quite an outstanding athlete herself. She was at South Islands and Nationals with us too. She's pretty flash too. So,
thanks for that.
Right. Hey, do you want to drop that screen off now, Mike?
Sure.
I thought we'd better talk some training because otherwise we might be here at midnight still going. So we wanted to have a bit of focus on some training stuff because the last few podcasts we've just had some fun, and we promised that, you know, we'd better keep some content bodybuilding, seeing as it's a bodybuilding podcast. So here we go. So we want to just talk today about some things that were slightly off the norm, some training, some nutrition stuff that just rather than the usual prescriptive stuff that a lot of people are doing. And look, there's some really cool training programs out there at the moment, all different styles. There's some really clever nutrition, as Dave mentioned, with some of the bikini athletes, you know, some of the things they're doing with food, you know, whereas most of us don't do that. There's people that have done certain things now that were kind of outside those norms or kind of challenged some of the ways we thought about some of those things. So I think, Mike, you had a list of topics for each person. So do you want to fire away with those?
Yeah, it's just I chucked it out there to the guys. Dave's got a couple and I had one to talk about. And it was really just, you know, just to spark a bit of conversation. And this isn't necessarily what most people do, but just to show there's a few different ways of doing things. And And Dave was going to talk about his the way he periodized his training, working towards towards failure, I suppose, and how far off in the cycle that he uses in that regard for training. So, and then I guess the three of us are there to kind of ask questions and stimulate that conversation so the viewers can get a bit of an understanding of what it does and where it fits and if it might be right for them. So how about that, Dave?
Yep, sounds cool. Okay, so probably about 3 years ago, I started following on YouTube a guy called Dr. Mike Isratel from Renaissance Periodization. And I liked his stuff because he's got a doctorate in exoscience, so he comes from that intellectual background, but he's an absolute meathead, you know. Him and most of the other guys that RP are bodybuilders, and, you know, some of the IFBB pros over in the States. And they just have a different way of looking at stuff. And some of it, I think, comes down to a longevity point of view as well. Because I know before, and I've gone hard and I've smashed the weights, and sometimes I just felt like I was, you know, you just start to break down a bit sometimes. So they look at training a little bit differently, that a lot of the evidence that's coming out in studies, obviously it's not bodybuilders per se. Some of it is, but some of it's just general public health, and they're just taking the information across. Is that you don't always have to train to failure in order to get really good hypertrophy. You know, you can be, depending on your proximity to failure, you can still get results. And also what it's sort of suggesting is the closer to failure you get, the more fatigue you start to build. The more fatigue you build, maybe you cut down your frequency of when you train because you're not fully recovered enough to hit your next big session. So for me, I run generally about a 4-week accumulation phase. So in week one, I might sit, let's say it's a bench press, I might sit with 3 reps in the tank with that exercise, with the 3 or 4 sets that I'm doing. When I get to week two of my mesocycle, I'm going to adjust maybe the repetitions or the weight a little bit, which will push me a couple of reps short of failure. Week three, about 1 rep from failure. And on week four, I'll hit functional technical failure at that point from there. Then I take a deload, and then I rebuild that process from there. But I don't ever start back at week one. I started about week 2.5. And so the whole time I'm just trying to stagger it up. So I build fatigue and stimulation throughout the cycle. And then I take a deload to drop my fatigue. And then I rebuild and build and build again. And for me, you know, I'm 51 years old. I need something to be able to keep me going for a long time as well. Because sometimes if I just push too hard, it's just, I just blow out too quickly, you know? So this, for me, gives me a way to think about it a bit differently, to get the stimulation, but also to get some recovery as well. So I can fight another day, you know, and maybe increase my frequency to hit the body parts more often, especially something like a shoulder, you know, a lateral hit of your shoulder, you know, you can hit that 3-4 times a week.
Turn around, yeah. Hey, yeah. I was really interested in your conversation there about, I guess, the cumulative effects of fatigue. And you talk about running a 4-week mesocycle with a deload into another 4-week mesocycle. If just to look at it, if you just said, I was going to take those deload weeks out, how many weeks do you think you could run a repetitive 4-week program before you were too deep in the hole and you were just burnt out and not performing in the gym?
I would probably say 5 weeks, maybe. Maybe sometimes only 4 weeks, because I know that I just couldn't face another one. In fact, sometimes I'll run the 4-week and I think I'm feeling pretty good, and then I'll try and run the 5th week and I'll either get it or I'll fall just short. So it's like, okay, I should have probably cut it back a little bit from there. And it's not always a whole week deload. It could be a 4-day, you know, 4 days of deload and then build back into there again. So there's sort of a bit of auto regulation in there, because it does depend on what you're doing. It also depends how many compound movements I've got in there and how many isolated movements, because the compound movements are going to wreck you a lot more. Like if you're deadlifting 200 kgs 20 times, there's some fatigue you're building for that's going to affect you for the next few days. But if I'm doing tricep kickbacks, I'm pretty good. No matter how hard I've gone, the next day I'm probably golden. Yeah.
Hey, I really like the that conversation around auto regulation as well, because something I haven't really heard much of it locally. I've heard a lot of conversation internationally, and years ago with powerlifting there was a lot of talk about that and needing to be in tune with that and perhaps putting the, I guess, the ego or your natural intuition to just smash it and keep going for another week and being very clinical with planning your deloads and taking those deloads, because often for a high level athlete, the attitude is, I need to do more, I need to do more, I need to do more. Sometimes you actually need to do less. And if you can preempt that and successfully be, you know, really rigid with making sure you get that downtime, you can potentially have a much longer season and much less risk, I guess, of injury and things from being in a weakened state with fatigue.
Yeah, so for me, it's about keeping the stimulation high, but allowing that recovery in between. And when I train with Mike, he comes from a real sort of Dorian Yates style of push hard, you know, go hard the whole way. But then you look at someone like Jay Cutler. He never went to real failure, did he? He just built his physique out of his volume that he was doing. And even today, you see him train. I was watching a video recently. He did about 4,000 sets in his workout for his chest, but you know, he never took anything to failure. So that's how he built his physique. So there's got to be different ways of doing it. And it's just finding what's right. And yeah, everyone's different. You got to find your zone.
From an X's and O's perspective, when you're doing your workouts, if you were doing, say, 4 sets of bench press, would you be 3 reps shy of failure on all 4 sets and then the following week, 2?
Yeah, so let's say I was doing 80 kgs on a bench press. My first set, I might get 15 reps, and then I might get 13 reps, 11 reps, 8 reps. So I use that to manipulate. And then the next week, I'll do whatever I can because I know that I can either push up by another couple of reps, and that will put me closer to failure, or I might just increase my weights a little bit because that'll push me closer to failure. So I'll have more like 2 reps in the tank. Yeah. So that's how I build it from there.
And how many sets would you do in a chest or a back workout?
I still get through of actual working sets, probably 8 to 9 to 10. But I'll also build volume during the cycle as well, because I might find that, because I'll use the proxies of have I got a good pump, how much muscular disruption have I had, how much soreness do I get from that, and I can use that to help with my auto regulation as well. I might do a workout and I've found I haven't got enough, so an easy result to that, instead of pushing my sets harder to failure, I just add another set, because that way I'm getting another, instead of another 1 rep, I might get another 10 reps or something. So I'm still getting more volume of stimulation that way.
That's really, really reminds me of a powerlifting type approach. You know, it's almost like a linear periodization program that's been broken up into the mesocycles. So yeah, it sort of rings a lot of bells and, quite interesting, but not an approach we see often with a lot of bodybuilders locally anyway. So
no.
It's if someone wants to try it and look, if you're thinking about doing something like that and you want to try something different, like, you know, you got a bit of off season, you want to try something, shoot Dave a message and you can talk through the intricacies of it with him and get some advice from someone who's done it.
Yeah, I can shoot plenty of links to anyone if they need some more information, that's for sure.
Stuff. Right, Mike, you were going to talk about your carb loading.
Yeah, I was. This is kind of a tale of, I guess, taking a very systematic scientific approach to something and learning what works for my body, and also a tale of, well, I probably should have, got ahead of that issue and sorted it before I needed to do what I did. But I was, I was pretty well in shape for Tournament of Champions, and I had 6 weeks until nationals, and that 6 weeks was pretty good. I mean, Kurt had me on an extra 700 calories a day or something, and I was down to 20 minutes cardio, so I was cruising. It was all good, you know, felt $1 million, sleeping better, all that sort of thing. And then about 2 weeks out, I kind of, well, let's, the carb load didn't go well for Tournament of Champions, so I thought let's try practice carb load. So partly it was the foods that I was using in Tournament of Champions. But also, and this is where the downside comes, partly I'd run out of probiotics and so stopped doing my sort of gut health protocol before that. And, you know, so whether it was the sort of bagels and things I was trying to get down or not, but I went to do this practice carb load and just ate all the foods I'd normally been eating. but just doubled the amount of carbs in every meal. So I was up to, you know, sort of 700-800 grams of carbs, or 700 grams of carbs, something a day. And I ended up having to split it into about 9 or 10 meals, something like that. But I rammed all the food in and, you know, filled up really well. I did 2 days like that, got pretty full, but, and it wasn't, I had no sort of acid reflux or stomach issues that I'd had it before Tournament of Champions, but it sat in my lower intestinal digestive tract. And so I couldn't pull my lower abs in. I was still feeling quite full down there. Took some laxatives and sort of, you know, a day, 2 days later, kind of it all kind of got through. And by about the third day, because I was keeping you know, notes of everything like I do, by the third day, which I was still quite full, but I'd dried out, my digestive system had kind of moved through, and I kind of felt like I was probably pretty good to get on stage. So, you know, bringing that back for nationals, I sent it all to Kurt, and he said, yep, all right, let's go with that, because it clearly kind of worked. And so I did 3 carb loading days, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then brought everything back Thursday, Friday, which nobody does that. Everybody carb loads right before, tries to hit the mark, and then dries out sort of the 24 hours beforehand. So for me, it was hard to cut my carbs back again after I've been eating so much. I didn't really like doing it, but you know, everything went through my digestive system okay, and I was still quite full, dried out okay. So come showtime, it was good, but not great. And so, you know, that for me was, I worked out what worked for me, and I worked out what got me in the best, you know, condition at that time by keeping really careful notes and being systematic with what I was doing, and working out, you know, trying things or trying something and kind of using that protocol. And I guess that was in the time frame that was the safe option, because I knew it had worked, and I knew that I looked good that 3 days later. Having done a bit of a debrief with Kurt, what we need to do is A, sort my digestion, sort the foods that I can use to carb load to digest better, because I'll obviously be fuller if I go Wednesday, Thursday, Friday carb load and then dry out. So I think it's going to be a better option to kind of work that out, so fix that problem. So yeah, I found it worked for me. It worked really well for nationals, got full, got dry, but could have been fuller, could have been better. And that's, I guess, the learning was, you know, I shouldn't have let myself get to that point. I should have known what foods to use. I should have had my digestion sorted by that time. So it was a little bit late to be kind of working on that, or having to, I guess, put a Band-Aid on that and use something a bit left field to get myself there, as opposed to kind of sorting things out and doing it, well, the way everybody else in the world does.
Yeah, I thought about that, because you're right, like, night, if you ask most athletes, the vast majority, I would say 90% plus, would do the load into the show, right? And what you've kind of done is the front load, then dropped it off a bit. And did you bump it at all on the Saturday morning a bit higher?
No. You know, I just didn't want anything sitting in my digestive system that had stopped me from kind of keeping abs under control.
Yeah, because I think the only situation I think I've heard of anyone doing something like that is where they thought they were, you know, going to take a while to load, so they started loading early, realised by day 3 coming in Wednesday, holy shit, I'm full of so much water, and then back their carb load off. And potentially, I don't know if that's worked successfully for someone who's done that as an approach, but it's a similar type of approach to what you did with a plan in place to achieve a result using it.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard, I guess, to kind of monitor those carb loads. I mean, I dare say my muscle glycogen will have dropped away. The idea of doing that last 3 days is that you're generally pretty depleted going into it, and they, you know, you get glycogen supercompensation, so your muscles load more than they would normally hold. So you kind of, that's that sort of skin tearing fullness that you'd love to have when you step out on stage.
But I thought that was insulin. Sorry, let's carry on the conversation. My bad.
Yeah. So, but you're not going to get that, because you're by dropping your glycogen right down, depleting right down, then you can load and get more than your body would normally hold. But then if you do that on the Wednesday, by Thursday, Friday, it's sort of subsided back down to a sort of a normal level, I suppose. But I guess it does give you the timing to control your water. And what I did find is that when I did the practice, I wasn't dry the couple of days after loading, but then I just dried out without using any diuretics or anything like that, or cutting my water or anything like that. Yeah, it was a good 2 or 3 days later that I was sort of, my digestive system was clear. I could hit my poses right and I dried out enough, but still had enough fullness that when I went in the gym and pumped up, I got pretty pumped. So
I reckon all your little diaries and notebooks of all these things, and there's probably some fascinating learnings that we've actually missed. So, like, if anyone would like to review Mike's last 20 years of bodybuilding notes, you'll find some fucking gems in there, no doubt.
There's a 20-year gap in those. But it did mean that when I went to do my first carb load with Kurt, I basically tallied up everything that I did in 2020. And said, look, day one, I had 850 grams. Day two, I had 650 grams. Halfway through day three, because I notes all down the side of when I went to the toilet, how much water I had, when I felt full. And there was a note there saying, this is good. I should get on stage like this. Time to back off the carbs. I mean, there's still carbs after it, so I couldn't hold back.
100%, you are on the spectrum, bro. Like, that's some OCD shit right there. I love it, because, like, if you ask me, if you said, how did you carb load in 2020, I would probably go, fuck, did I eat kumara or rice? I can't remember, bro. That would be the best answer you'd get out of me. You know, like, if I had to look back 2 years, but by having those notes, I bet you there's some really good stuff in there, actually.
Well, it comes back to, I've never been much of an athlete at any of the sports I've done. I've had to get every little bit of, you know, performance out of anything I'm doing by being systematic and disciplined and, you know, I don't have the natural ability to just go in the gym and grow or just eat whatever and grow. You know, it's got to be pretty systematic.
You haven't got Dom's genes in. Right. talking about Dom, look, hey, is there anything that you've been doing in your training or your nutrition that is an interesting sort of, I guess, preview for people to some of the things that you can do?
A lot of the knowledge that I've got from, you know, bodybuilding and the way I train has been basically self-taught, man. You know, like, I never had a coach, but Denver Chandy decided to come on board with me after 2020 Nationals. So that was the first time I've ever had a proper nutrition plan given to me by a coach. So all the other, the 2019, I basically prepped myself, and I even went into South Island's 2020 prepping myself. But I just had Denver on the side there just telling me, you know, sharing a bit of his knowledge. But he wasn't my full-on coach then. He's a friend of mine. So. Yeah. He was just giving me the old basic tips here and there and what I should do and how I should carb load up to my shows, stuff like that. When it comes to training and stuff like that, I actually sat back and I draw a picture of an image of a bodybuilder. And this is how I used to play rugby, you see, and I wanted to customize a training program that would not require me having like sore legs on a Tuesday or a Thursday, because that's when rugby training was. And, you know, rugby training was pretty hard, you know, on the legs, you know. But and what I did is when I transitioned into bodybuilding, I carried that same training program over. So, you know, for like I do one body part per week. So I'd only work on them for like, once every week. So it wasn't until I got feedback from Mo that I needed to bring my glutes in. And it was quite funny because, you know, backstage, Mo turns around and he says, oh, I want you to bring your glutes in. I want you to do them every single, like, every second day. And I was thinking, man, isn't that overtraining or anything like that? You know, I see, there's some things that I do question, but you know, to hear it from him himself, I was like, oh, okay.
So I'll just heard, them, you know, I so. Heard a very similar thing from my coach at the time.
Yeah,
and he said, on your off, every second day before your cardio, I want you doing hip raises with like I think it was like 4 sets of 25 or something just before you go and do your cardio. And I'm like, holy shit, that means I'm really, when I look at the days I'm actually training legs and that, you know, my glutes are getting hit probably every day bar one in the week. And yeah.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Man, how are your glutes?
Sorry?
Hey, both of you, how are your glutes after that?
I haven't seen them for a while, bro. They're on holiday.
The glutes after that, it's a bit tender and stuff, but
there's probably something in that, though, with that, you know, like where you see, have you seen the arm wrestlers that have got one phenomenally developed arm because all they do is work on that arm pretty much every day?
Yeah.
You know, a different sort of almost like occupational, you know, you get someone who's a fitter turner or someone that works with their hands and give them a grip strength exercise and they're phenomenal. And you think, how did you develop that, you know? And so maybe, you know, it's something to do with that.
Well, your road cyclists. Look at the quads on your road cyclists, you know, thousands of reps every day.
Yeah, exactly. I did used to work for a company where you swung a hammer nearly for 45 minutes nonstop. And I tried to, you know, I was still bodybuilding back then, so I tried to swap them over all the time because I didn't want one arm bigger than the other. So
definitely. Hey, to have a mate that you could get some advice from and learn some stuff from, you couldn't have done much better than having Denver as your mate. So, you know, for those that... Yeah, just quickly for those that don't, Denver Chambi, another former Miss New Zealand and IFBB pro, and one all-round big motherfucker. He is a big boy, you know, some of the best arms, you know, great arms. But anyway, so he would have been a great resource early on.
Yeah, it's funny because before, you know, social media came out, you know, like with Instagram and even Facebook, I actually bought some protein powder off Denver on Trade Me, and I didn't know what this guy looked like. You know, he probably didn't look like what he looked like now, obviously. But you know, I texted Denver for like a good. I was buying off Denver for like 5 years without even knowing what he looked like. You know, and then I lost my phone, and then I wasn't in contact with Denver for about 3 years, and then. I found him on Facebook, and then I hit him up, and it was actually he was another person that pushed me into competing as well, because he said to me, you know, if you want to compete this year, you know, I was looking at Otago Naba, and he said to me, look, you know, if you really want to you know, go a bit further, you know, I advise you to go for the NZ IFBB, you know, no disrespect to Naba or anything like that, but that he gave me the advice to go for the South Island champs. That's how I think
physiques like yours that are really full, bubbly 3D muscle absolutely suit the IFBB stage. I mean, that's the look that they have, you know, and you look at Naba, you know, someone like myself who tends to come and dry and peel to bits. You know, I sit really well in that NABBA where they kind of reward that physique. So sometimes I think choices like that can be made locally, but also when you're at the tier that you're at, you know, you may have the opportunity to go internationally, whether that be going to an IFBB Amateur Worlds, an Amateur Arnold's or something like that, or achieving the pro card and moving into that pro rank. And, you know, if you decide to go that path with NABBA, you'd be looking at things like the NABBA World and the Universe, where you'd be going on a stage where traditionally lean, dry, shredded physique is rewarded quite higher. So, like, it seems like an obvious choice to go that pathway. But I think a lot of people getting into the sport, and you, as you say, you're only really new at that stage. When someone said, "I think you should go down this pathway," you must kind of go, "Why? You know, what's the reason?" Because you don't know.
Yeah, no, I didn't know at all.
But so he guided you in that direction. So
yeah, he did. So. Yeah. And it was probably the best decision I ever made, because, you know, like Mike said, you know, going to the South Islands and even to our nationals, that just been, honestly, man, the amount of people that I've met and are on the same path, on the same journey, and and also like very humble, man. Like, you know, I met Cyprian, after he won his pro car. Man, what a humble champ he is, you know. And even Ash Mullen, man, honestly, you know, Darren Dingle, all those boys, man. It's really good to rub shoulders with these guys, because, you know, all they want is, you know, they want you to be good, you know, just as good as them. But, you know, it is at the end of the day a competition. But, yeah, it's very humbling, you know, and it just opens your eyes up to a whole different world when you enter the health and fitness industry. So, real privilege.
Yeah. Nice. Right. Mike, did you want to touch on some other training stuff, or we
the one thing that did spring to mind when Don was talking about, and when you were talking about which class or which federation or whatever, the one piece of advice I try and give to everybody, and this applies more so to women than the guys, but create the physique that you love. Find something that you really passionately, the what you want to look like, and create that physique, and then find the federation, find the class that suits it. And if there isn't one, don't compete. Because if you change, the further you have to change your physique from what your body is naturally suited to and what you love, the harder it becomes. And to change your physique or do something different for a judge or for a scorecard or for a title or for an outcome is not going to bring you happiness or fulfillment. So create what you love, find somewhere it fits, and if it doesn't fit, just put it on Instagram.
And if you're silly enough like me to really like Marcus Rule and be trying to chase mass that you won't get him with within 40 kilos of, it's not going to be a great life anyway, so you just do what you love. We are going to start heading out, but what I wanted to do is we always do a bit of a handover to the boys for coming on and get them to do some shout outs to the people that have supported them this season in the bodybuilding, people that have supported them in their aspirations in terms of sponsors, partners, all those type of things. And anyone in general that they want to give a shout out to. So on that note, Dave, the floor is yours.
Okay. First of all, I'll say thank you to my partner, Sonia. She's new to the whole thing, so it was a real stretch for her at first to get her head around the whole bit, but no, thanks to her. And my kids, I got two kids. Caitlin, she's 21, and Harley, he's 18. And they kept me grounded the whole time. Every time they saw me, they go, man, you're looking fat. Or you look tiny. I'm looking for some sort of recognition, but they just cut me down every time. But that's really good, and now I enjoy that. And plus, all my clients and everyone at the gym that was there, and of course Kurt. You know, I couldn't have done it with. If I'd done it without Kurt, I would have ran myself into the ground after about 4 weeks. I would have been on 400 calories, and I would have dropped dead. So thanks to Kurt for looking after me, and I'm looking forward to a good 22.
Yeah. Before we move on, what's your plans briefly in a minute? What are we doing in 22, Dave?
Waiting to hear what the calendar is for the year, but actually in off season now, hopefully spend the next 6 months trying to put some muscle on so I can give Scotty and Nigel a run in the at the Nationals this year.
Nice. Dom, floor's yours, buddy.
Hey, thanks, man. First of all, I want to thank Michelle, my partner. She prepped every single meal that I ate, man. So and she was prepping for a show as well. So, you know, it's unbelievable what she did. Yeah. I picked up a good one. I do want to thank my kids as well for supporting me throughout the journey as well. And I can't miss out Denver, because he's obviously been a huge part of my bodybuilding career. He's helped me a lot. He's taught me a lot. Hopefully things go well for him when he decides to take on the pro stage as well. There's a lot of people that have been, messaging me privately on Instagram and that. There's so many, but I can't name them all. But T Prince is one of the guys that I do want to give a shout out to, man. He's always in my ear. Isaac and Callum Holmes and even Chris Nelson. So yeah, I really want to thank those guys for
some good names in there, bro. You're mixing in some good company.
It's going to be really interesting, the classic physique this year, because I've got a lot of mates that have that are going to compete. So yeah, this year should be a massive one, man. So I'm excited to see what's going to unravel from that.
Nice. Yeah, I can't wait to actually see how this year does unfold, and hopefully we get some more real quality comps. Like last year was so good. Like the quality was just really good. I think it was because the season got compressed and people just wanted to get on stage. So hopefully that energy carries into next year. We see some really good competitive bodybuilding. Before we go, guys, I want to say a big thank you to our guests again, Dave, Dom. Awesome having you. Nice having you.
Thank you.
And to all our peeps out there, stay safe, get some training in, and let's see you in another week or so, eh? Peace out.
Thank you.
Yeah.